All right, guys, it is that time to talk about wholesaling. It is Rickin, and we are on the Rickin YouTube channel where we talk about everything wholesaling. And today we're specifically going to do a deep dive on how to do SMS text blasting campaign for free. Yes, you can actually do it for free. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but it is definitely doable. And if you're just starting out and you're limited on funds, this is the video for you. So everybody talks about it. They always talk about text blasting. What is it? How does it work? And why would I use it for my wholesaling? Well, text blast, it's just texting, guys. That's like when it boils down to it. All you are is really technically doing is texting. The reason why the dang thing's so popular is, in my opinion, as a single operator for as a wholesaler, meaning you're the only person in your company, which is probably 95% of you watching this video, is it's extremely scalable. I'm here to tell you, SMS text blasting is the most scalable marketing tactic you can use for your wholesaling business. Why? Because one person can do it. It's absolutely insane how many people you can connect with one or two clicks of a mouse. But today we're going to break it down on how you do it without using some of these expensive carriers. Yes, there's a lot of places out there like Launch Control. There's like a whole list of them. And if you want to do a paid service, it's not a bad way to do it. But the reality is some of you are just trying to get your text out to get your first deal. So let's walk you through on how to do it for free. It's really not that complicated. The other thing why I love text blasting is not only is it the most scalable thing you can do, but two, it gives you the fastest speed to lead, in my opinion. If you connect with someone and get them on the phone, and that's a big challenge you have to do with texting. You have to get them on the phone. You're never going to close a deal just by texting. It's going to happen like once in a blue moon, but it's rare. Why? Because if you're really trying to work on developing a relationship and be less transactional, the reality is texting is extremely transactional. It's not very personable. And for that reason, you have to understand it is a marketing tool. You are seeking out motivated sellers, and your job is to get them on the phone to turn them over, bring them over from the dark side and have them connect with you and talk to you. Because if it's solely about price, you're never going to win, especially as a wholesaler. So understanding that and knowing that, it's great. The speed at which you can put information in, get someone to text and get a response is amazing. You know why? Because people are so addicted to their phones. And they're even more addicted to their text. If you don't believe me, pick up your phone right now and just go through all your text. It's ridiculous how many texts we send a day. I always wonder, how the heck did I ever survive before we did text? I don't know, but we did. And I'm sure there'll be something more advanced coming out with text. But texting, if you can get it to go through, the connection rate is incredible because people always want to respond to you. So I want you to understand texting, guys. It works. So let's get through it. So I teach this strategy I'm going to do today at freewholesaling.com. If you just can't wrap your brain around it, you can go through there. The course is 100% free. I've had it out there for almost 4 years now, and I keep adding to it. It will always be free. It will never be charged for. And I do this to protect you against all the ridiculous gurus that charge you for senseless information from people that do very few deals. Most of them don't even wholesale anymore. So go over to freewholesaling.com if you want a step-by-step guide on how to do the text blasting for free. So let's run through this. And hold on. Let me put out my invites. And what we'll do is we will do the one-on-one. So I'll go ahead and post that now. And we'll do that on first come, first serve. And let's jump into it. So we're talking about texting. So specifically today, we're talking about the free method. I have to do this because no guru, no coach will teach it to you because they want you to sign up for the expensive systems. And to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with the paid SMS systems. What I want you to do is get a couple deals under your belt before you convert over to the paid side. So you understand the flow, you know how to talk to people, and you understand what it entails. And you get some real data and numbers. The worst thing you do is start a text campaign with like little to no money. It's very stressful. So the biggest thing we are all trying to avoid on the text is the dreaded tagline that the carriers give you, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, when this comes up on your phone, scam likely, they ain't answering it. So the advantage of doing the technique I'm teaching you today, it's highly unlikely that you will be marked from the carriers as a scam likely, spam likely, whatever you guys want to call it. Why? Because you're actually creating some authenticity by using a dedicated phone number. But let's show you how this works. So the way we're doing this is we are avoiding the scam likely. Now, I can't guarantee it, but I promise you, when you do the paid services, this is a constant challenge. And this is what drives most people nuts. Remember, I'm teaching you a technique for those of you who get starting a wholesaling that maybe you don't even have a deal, or maybe you got a deal or two done and you're looking to get this done. So what do we need to do the free SMS texting? Really, really simple here, guys. This is not a long list. Number one, you need a cell phone. Now, I know for a fact you all have one sitting in your hand right now. I don't want to hear you complaining how much it costs, because you already have it. And most likely that cell phone's not making you any money. So let's turn that around and turn that cell phone in and show it how to make us money. Number two to do it is you're going to need a Google Voice account. If you don't already have one, go out and get one. I'm going to be honest with you. A Google Voice is so valuable as a wholesaler, and I don't care what level you're at. I have a lot of Google Voice accounts. Guys, do the math. If a number costs you, say, $4, let's just do a round number, $5 a month. Five times 12, that's $60. You had it over 10 years. That's $600. Now take four or five of those numbers, cut up the $3,000. If you don't have a lot of money and you want to get started, especially on an SMS text line, Kane, at least start with this strategy, because you can keep these phone numbers for life. I don't even know how Google does it. I know it's in their bigger scheme of things to sell you everything from Gmail to phone calls and everything else, but these things work well and they're extremely reliable. Now, you're going to have to go in and do some setup features on it. The last thing I want you to do is when people call in that Google Voice is for them. Now, this is a Google Voice message or anything like that. You've got to make it extremely authentic. So let's talk about the free SMS text plan. It's actually really simple. I'm just going to cut straight to the chase so you know exactly what I'm talking about. So here's the facts. You are allowed to do 5 texts per hour without ever coming up marked as a scam likely. Why? Because that's how the carriers infiltrate everything. Once you start bundling it up and using these services, they catch on to you. And that's how your number gets tagged scam likely. And once it's scam likely, nobody's going to answer it, because the carriers are trying to discourage you from doing it. And so that's why they put a tag on you. Yes, I know Launch Control has some very advanced systems to work your way around it. But remember, we're talking about the free way to do SMS text blasting. You can always graduate to the paid way. So if you get this concept, the paid one's going to seem very, very simple for you. So if I can do 5 an hour and I got 24 hours in a day, that means potentially you could do up to 3,600 texts per month. But let's be honest, unless you're going to stay up 24 hours a day and constantly wake up every 59 minutes and do it, odds are you're not going to get out 3,600. Honestly, if you got it 1,000 or 1,500, I would be extremely proud of you. So 3,600 is going to be a little bit extreme, because like you're going to have to go 24/7 and not stop. So here is the main difference, so you guys understand it. By using this method and the method I'm going to teach you today, you are actually seeking the seller's permission to communicate to them. I know that sounds crazy, but once they start interacting with you, you're good. So you see, if they don't interact with you and you constantly berate them with SMS text blast, that's when you get marked as scam likely. By having an interaction with people, by asking the right questions, which I promise you I'm going to share in this video, asking the right questions is the key to getting a free SMS text campaign off the ground. You just can't ask the standard questions. So, Rick, what are you talking about? How many questions can they possibly ask? Well, I'm here to tell you guys, it's simple. Now, here's the key difference that me and Zach teach you. And here's the cool part. I teach it in the free SMS text version, and I also teach it in the paid version that we use through Launch Control. Now, you're going to use what we call the double whammy script. So back in the old days when me and Zach did texting is we could just ask one simple question, get a response, and we could filter our leads. And it actually worked like magic for years. Those days are long and gone. So I'm going to teach you about the double whammy script. It is a two-tiered question, and it has multiple purposes. Number one is to actually engage your prospect, your seller, and let them know you're not a computer. I know that sounds crazy, but you have to ask a question that a human being would ask, not a computer, especially AI. And my God, is that going on rampant right now? Number two, you are looking to disqualify the people that don't want to work with you. Let's just get rid of them right off the bat, right? There is no point in talking to someone that A, doesn't own the home, and B, has no interest in selling to you. So I want to eliminate those people right off the bat. And the reality is it's going to be a majority of the people. This is about efficiency. If I have 5,000 people on a list, I want to rip through and find the 100 that want to talk to me. I don't want to sit there and spend and talk to 5,000 people. That's the beauty of texting. You don't have to talk to them. And a lot of people operate texting so they don't have to talk to people. Why not do it in business? I agree completely with it. The third thing it does is by qualifying the prospect and having them even respond to you, you are less likely to be tagged for a spam likely event. And once you understand that, you understand why we teach this method. So let's talk about the first question when you do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put it up there. And you don't have to rehearse these because the beauty of texting is literally just cut and paste. So the people that have had the most success in any type of SMS text blast is they vary their responses, the double whammy script. You can't have the same canned response for everyone. People will pick up on it over time, and you got to understand doing that. So let's start out with question number one. Real simple. Remember, we are disqualifying right off the bat. Okay. Yeah. Hey, this is Rick. I just drove by 123 Main Avenue. Is this the owner? Here's where we get permission from him. Ready? Who is this? Standard question. Typically text. It's not called. So I know my voice doesn't have a lot of appeal in this because it's text. And I'm such a phone guy. I can't wrap my brain around the text thing. So who is this? And I'm simply going to go back with my double whammy response. Hey, it's Rick. Me and my partner are looking to buy a house in your neighborhood. Okay. You've got to understand. And then based on my asking, looking to sell your house. That's it. Once you get some sort of interaction with them, you now have a conversation that they have legally and purposely entered in with you. Once they do that, they're fair game to do whatever you want with. Also, it disqualifies the ones that don't own the house or don't have any interest in selling their property. Now, what I want you to do is play with the script. You don't have to use the exact same one as I do, but the more creative you are, usually the better off you're going to do. And the more you can create what I call curiosity in the seller. Don't ask them. You have to ask a yes, no question. Are you the owner of the property or are you interested in selling? Because we are trying to scale this approach. And the only way to scale it is I got to go through a lot of people. So the sooner you get through these questions, but after that, ask open-ended questions, because here's the really cool part about open-ended questions. If it's a super open-ended question, it's hard to answer on text. And that is the perfect opportunity for you to switch them over to a regular phone call. That's right. I tell you, you have to switch text over to a phone call, because what is the goal of any SMS text campaign? Boom, right there. The goal is to convert from text to phone. Any of you guys have pipe dreams that you can just text thousands and thousands of people and you never got to talk with them? It's not going to work. Honestly, I've had this fantasy for a long time. It ain't going to come true. I think I've had one or two I've closed by text. And even then, I still had to have someone get them on the phone to make the deal happen. So the sooner you get them on the phone, the sooner you lock up a deal and you connect with people. And remember, the better your connection, meaning your rapport, your conversation, usually the better of the discount you're going to get as a wholesaler. So always kind of keep that in mind. Now, I know what you're thinking. You go, oh, crap, Rick, I have to skip trace. I know how a lot of people feel about skip tracing on here. It is a requirement for wholesaling now. It is not an option. It is a requirement. And I'm here to explain what your options are because they're really, really simple. So You can do it one or two ways. You can go the free way or you can go the paid way. Thank God they've come out with a paid way that is extremely reasonable. And I will give you your options on here. It's really simple. So the first one is simply True People Search. So it's truepeoplesearch.com. Just put it all together. And it's pretty accurate and it works, especially if you're broke. Like, I get it. But the downside is going to cost you a ton of time. So if you had to look up 500 phone numbers, this would take you a long time to do. And I'm going to have to ask you, what is your time worth? The other way you can do it is cyberbackgroundchecks.com. Extremely accurate, but once again, very, very time consuming. Now, I will tell you this. If you really, really want to do some damage and you're going to do a much bigger list and skip tracing, the old days would cost you anywhere from 15 to 20 cents per skip trace, sometimes costing you thousands of dollars a month. Well, we've solved that for you. Go to dmzach.com. Just thank me later. You can basically get unlimited skip tracing with your paid version of your account. If you do any type of driving for dollars or anything like that, it is actually incredible. And to me, it's really hard to operate a business without this, especially in Holesline. But check it out. So now that we know what our options are in skip tracing, what's the next thing is? It's lists. And lists do matter. Okay, I'm going to start a movement. Lists matters. Lists, I say it again, lists matter. So I should put a hashtag in front of that. Why? Because if you got a crappy list, I don't care who you text, who you call, who you mail to, who you do reverse driving for dollars for, it ain't going to work. And so many of you guys are trying to buy your list, and I get it. And there's some great services out there to do it. But I'm here to tell you, we are talking about the free way to do stuff. And honestly, if you're trying to figure out if wholesaling is going to work for you or not, at least go out there, since me and Zach have already given you freewholesaling.com. Just go out there and find a deal for free. It's really not that hard. And honestly, if you can do it for free, not only get your first deal, I'll show you how to get to your fifth deal. Once you get to your fifth deal, like, you're ready for the big leagues, in my opinion, because you've showed that you have what it takes to dig and fight through wholesaling. The reality is most people don't. It's just the truth. I struggled through it in the beginning. Almost everybody I've talked to on here, they've had challenges. The ones that can come through the other end of the tunnel with the light, they usually do phenomenal. Why? Because they fought through. Take someone who does nothing but paid lead services, does a paid mentor to learn wholesaling. They have no better shot than what you have, what I'm doing here. And I'm here to tell you, you will actually do better if you can find your first lead for free. I mean, your first deal from a lead for free. Why? Because you're going to pay attention. And then as you go through all the rejections, all the people are going to turn you down, because I guarantee it's going to happen. You are going to get better in your wholesaling journey. And so many people think, if I pay a guru and I could do the paid list services way to do it, that it'll be easier and I can shortcut it. No, you can't. I'm sorry. The reality is you still have to learn how to talk to sellers. And if you don't cut your teeth, at least on the free stuff in the beginning, I don't know if you have the moxie to get through wholesaling, which a lot of people don't. That's the big secret gurus won't tell you. This is not an easy business. It is not for everybody. It's extremely unpredictable. Not a ton of people do it. And the ones that do it, they fight like hell. And that's what you have to do. So if you understand that going into it, and understanding the difference between doing the paid way and the free way, is if you make it out after the freeway, nobody can stop you. I mean, absolutely. Think about that. If you get way, if I show you how to do paid leads and all these other things, which are well out there, but the reality is most gurus want to sell you on all their programs, of course, first, and then they want to sell you on all these services. Why? Because it makes their life a heck of a lot easier. If you do nothing but like direct mail and stuff like that, they're going to get paid off any direct mail you send out. And if you make it or not, they'll just play the numbers game. Me and Zach don't operate that way. We're the complete freaking opposite. I want you to hit it out of the park right off the bat. And I'm going to teach you to be patient and understand how to get lists and how to get this stuff for free. Because A, these are actually some of the best leads I'm about to share with you. And B, you actually have to work your butt off to get them. And I'm here to tell you, they're even harder than like a paid list. But here's the cool part. They have much more motivated sellers on it. And there's much less traffic on it. I didn't say there's no traffic. I just said there's less. So let's talk about the lists that matter the most. It's real simple. I'm going to teach you the government list to go after. I said they're free. I didn't say they're easy to get. And as long as you understand that, let's do it. So I'm going to sum it up one bullet point here, because I don't want to spend 20 minutes going through this. Pre-foreclosures, code violations, tax delinquencies, water shutoffs, fire damage, and evictions. These are your core list that you want to attack on doing any SMS text blast lead. Why? Because quite frankly, they have the highest motivation. So if you already know wholesaling is hard out the gate, you don't have the experience to do it, and you don't want to go broke doing it, you better deep dive in these lists, because these lists really matter. And I want to give you the highest percentage of finding a motivated seller. Guys, anybody can find somebody selling a property. Find a motivated seller that's willing to sell their property, because they don't go out and throw it out on MLS. You've got to go get them. And that's just between a good wholesaler and a wholesaler that fails. So now I would be ill-advised not to give you my favorite list to possibly get whenever doing SMS text blasting. And this part is a requirement. You guessed it, driving for dollars. This is just the art of getting in your car, looking for ugly houses, boarded up windows, blue tarps, knocked over mailboxes, super high landscaping. And I'm going to save you the $3,000 to $5,000 fee on a driving for dollars. Just go over to freewholesaling.com. We teach it to you 100% for free, because if they're going to make a course on driving for dollars, where do we stop? Like the insane, like that's like me giving you a course on how to put your pants on in the morning. Like you don't need it. There's just certain things that are kind of self-explanatory. But if you need a touch up on it, go over to freewholesaling.com and I'll show you how to do it for free. I've been doing it 21 plus years. I just can't understand why anyone would sell a course on that, but I get it. Everyone's trying to make money. It is what it is. So guys, I want you, I can't repeat the importance of this. The goal to convert from text to phone, that is the key. I talk to so many people like, I don't want to talk to them on the phone. I go, that's the entire goal. So if you're avoiding what the goal is, you're never going to get done what you need to get done. So I will tell you this. You can use this system. The idea is to get your first deal from it or get a deal from an SMS text. Once you get that, you can convert over to the paid way, which I strongly recommend. But in the beginning, I get it. Like you're limited funds. I got to get my first deal in and I want to work on that. And that's how I would do this. So take this information and run with it. Because I'm telling you, guys, I love... I love text blasting. Is it more challenging? Yeah, because it's these carriers. And the problem is the people that legislate your the people that legislate your laws, your politicians, sometimes they get upset when certain things get text. But keep in mind, for those who say, oh, they're gonna get rid of text blasting, think about who writes the rules for it. They're your politicians. And who are the guiltiest people of text blasting everybody? It's politicians, it's political parties, the whole nine yards. It doesn't matter what party you're in. There's not a day I don't go by getting hammered on it. So I don't think they're ever going to get rid of this. Are they going to legislate the crap out of it? Yes. Are they going to make it harder? Yes. But guys, it's not going away, just like direct mail is never going to go away. So hopefully we can settle it out here in the next year or two. But I would always use this strategy. So, okay, let me switch over here. Okay. So, Jamie, if you have a question on the FSBO, just hop on the live. It's one of the easiest ways to do this. So here's what I like to do. It's like we take, questions and then, I'm going to hop in on a live and help you guys out. So it's first come serve, first serve. The reason I do the Rick Ginn channel so I can interact with more of you. And since I got a lot of time today, today would be a great day to ask questions. Now, dude, guys, bring some great questions. I can answer any question, but like, let's solve problems today. That's what I want to do. So I appreciate the comment, One with Nature. It's a great title. So my boy, so funny. Remember, Zach was just a tiny little kid and here's where we are on it. So I said, Jamie, hop on the live, dude. It'd be better to do this in person, but at least you got to type your question. I don't know what it is. So if you guys have a question, do me a favor, make sure you post it in the comments. You have a high probability of answering it. Remember, I am a one-man operation in the studio because I don't know why you need like a ton of people to answer questions. The internet's pretty straightforward on it. Jump on the, I put the question there. And if you want to hop on a live, it's on a first come first serve. I have one question here and then I'm going to do the lives. What's up, Jack? How you doing? If you guys hop on the live, you'll see the link. It is in the top comment from Rick Ginn. Just click that and give permission to StreamYard and you should be able to hop in there. So without further ado, let me show you how it, actually, I am turning on a speaker because I can always work on the connect with you guys. What's up, Victor? How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
I'm phenomenal, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. Quick question. Yeah. I hopped on with you, I think, last week.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, pictures, doing virtual deals and getting pictures of the house. Uh-huh. So I connected with two leads out in Ohio, and I kind of did it backwards. I guess I asked if I could, I didn't lock the property on contract. We didn't get to that part because I was thinking that I had to get pictures of the house, the inside, in order to get like a, you know, a proper ARV of the house. So I'm still in contact with the sellers. They're highly motivated. They really want to get rid of their properties. But how do I get around telling them? Because I, like I said, I already told them that I need that one of my partners were going to go in to take pictures to look at the property before making them an offer.
Okay, so Victor, where are you located?
I'm in Southern California, the Inland Empire.
I got it. So how did you find this lead?
Code violations.
Got it. And you said they're highly motivated. Explain it.
Okay, so they're both out-of-state owners. One's an absentee. So it's a vacant property. The other one is a duplex. The owner, they're both tax delinquent too. So, the owner of the duplex, he's out of state, he's in Florida. He said he just really wants to get rid of this property. He doesn't want to deal with it anymore. Same thing with the other owner.
So did you find out, what he wants to get rid of it?
I did not know.
Okay. So how long ago did you, are these leads both about the same time or?
Yep, exactly. They're about a week.
Okay. So here's going to be your challenge. If you wait much longer, you're going to lose both these deals. I'm just going to warn you. So the human nature is we all want everything to be like perfect. I'm here to tell you wholesaling is the complete freaking opposite. If I told you the thousands of deals I lost because I waited, you wouldn't even believe me. I'm the complete opposite now. I move with max speed because you're going to find out. I'm going to give you the truth right here. The opportunity to connect with a highly motivated seller, they're very slim. Like it doesn't happen a lot. And talking about the guy who's been doing this 21 years, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't mean there's not deals out there, but these are what we call really low-hanging fruit. And you want to make it simple because eventually they're going to get frustrated with you and someone else is going to make them an offer. And if they're really highly motivated, they're going to take the first thing that even like whets their appetite. So I get it. You're doing this virtually. All you have to do is try to figure out what they need to get for the property. Remember, I'm never using the word ask. What, you know, what are you selling it for? What do you need to get rid of it? Simple words. So when I have someone that's highly motivated, and by the way, highly motivated, usually they spit a price out pretty quick. They want to get rid of it. It could be an unreasonable price. If you're doing it virtually, you got to find out like how fast do I need to move on this property? Do I need to send a DocuSign right now? Do I send a mobile notary? Because you should have already made that decision by now. So did you ask either one of them what they need to get for the property?
The closest I got with the out-of-state owner that owns the duplex, He said that he had approximately 80, like around 80K in taxes, back taxes owed on his property. And he said that he wanted at least 15,000 out of the property. So
how does he owe 80K in back taxes on a duplex?
I didn't ask. Yeah.
So he would need 80 plus the 15 then, right?
Yeah.
So 95. So did you look at any ARVs and see what
it
was?
Yeah, roughly. It was roughly between 100K and 120K, roughly.
Okay. Well, that could be a tough one. So 80K, that means, I mean, the taxes can't be more than $3,000-$4,000 a year. The fact he didn't pay the taxes that long, that seems like it seems like a really high number.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too. I mean, unless I heard him wrong and he said 8, but it really sounded like he said 80.
Well, why don't you just look it up? It should be people's property taxes as public record.
Okay.
Do you have a PropStream account?
I do not.
Okay, so go get a free version of it. You can get a 7-day free trial. Go to listrei.com and then just look it up. Like it'll spit out, it'll kind of tell you what the issues are with the property. 80 grand, I've never seen anyone owe that much taxes. That's not a $1 million house.
Okay.
It's almost impossible. So you've just got to get down to the final, you got to get down to the numbers, especially in virtual when they seem really highly motivated and itchy. Just spit it out. Hey, what do you need to get rid of it? And just shut your mouth, see what they say. Look up the ARV and if, like, say if they say, listen, I'll take 70 for it and the thing's worth 200, you should literally drop everything you have and find a way to get them signed. Then you can send somebody out the property to take a look at it.
Okay.
I get it. Virtual, this is the problem, guys. You can't really verify the condition of the property until somebody goes out there. But when there's a huge disparity, even a rough house should work with these types of numbers. So what about the other one? Where are you at on that one?
That one, as far as the ARV goes, it was approximately, at the top of my head, between 55 and 60,000. So in
the ARV.
Yeah.
Okay, but you have no idea what they need for it.
No. I don't know how much okay. taxes.
So when you get off the phone with me, just call them and go, hey, listen, John, what do you need to get for that property? Just shut your mouth. Okay. And just decide how much, like, I don't mean to be, but you got to be direct. Because if he says I need 400 grand for it, it's like, I wouldn't send somebody to take pictures of it. It's just like, he goes, I don't know. I just kind of need to get rid of this thing. I go, John, like, just give me a ballpark number. Because I'm trying to see how quickly I can close this for you. And I want to make this as painless as possible. But you got to kind of shoot me a number and just see what he says. The reason I want you to do this is so you have to figure out how fast you have to move. If he's giving you a home run deal, you got to move fast. Because there's going to be 10 other people going to try to beat you to the punch. I could be one of them. So I'm just telling you, just go. Because you're worried about, do I have to pay someone $50 or $100 to go look at the property? You might be tripping over nickels to I don't even know what the saying is. But once it seems like you have a good deal on paper, once you have a contract, then you can ask them to send your pictures and then you can send somebody out to the property to verify it. But okay. If you try to do it in reverse order, you're going to get beaten out 9 times out of 10. Because when people are truly lazy and they want to get rid of property, they're going to go who gives them the least amount of resistance. And it might not be you. I get it. It's more challenging virtually, but dude, I would get off the phone with me right now and just get on both of them right away. The $80,000 tax one, you just got to kind of look up because there's nothing you can do about that. But by the way, most people don't say they owe 80 grand and they don't suddenly owe 80 grand. So he didn't, maybe it was a mortgage or something. I don't know. Okay. He says specifically taxes.
He just said he has back taxes. That's what he did.
Okay. So it could be on a federal level.
Okay.
It could be the IRS. That's still a little bit of work. Just going through it. Whenever I'm doing this virtually, I want to find out what my disparity is. And if I see a nice chunk gap, I'll go ahead and just get them to sign a DocuSign, put it under contract. And I say, listen, once you sign this contract, I can go through and I can vet the property and I can tell you how quickly we can close and get everything done.
Okay.
And they're like, well, shouldn't you look at it first, everything before you make an offer? You can do that, but you're going to miss out on a lot of deals if you do that. So I'd rather you put it under contract. And then if the property is a piece of junk or they lied about the numbers, it's just a cost of doing business. That's all it is. But so many times you guys will like discount people and they're like telling you the truth. It's a good deal. And you're so pessimistic. You're trying to find a way to screw it over. You got to stop that. That's the old personality that teaches you, and it's not going to help you out. So get off the phone with me and just make the phone calls. And then just, especially the guy without the tax issue, just say, you know, what do you need to get rid of it? And if they go, well, I don't know, you're the expert. I go, well, listen, I'm just trying to gauge like what's going on here. Because if you can give me a number, I can tell you how fast I can move. That's it. And then that way, if it's a really good number, your only job after that is to see how quickly you can get them to sign without freaking them out. And then once you do that, then you have options and you can calmly and coolly go through them and figure out what to do. And so worst case scenario, say you spend $75 out there, send pictures, and the property is much worse than you thought it is. Well, guess what? The seller's still motivated. They even got a worse problems on their hands than what they thought it was, because if they're not in town, they don't know how bad it is. And number three, it gives you a huge negotiating tactic.
Okay.
Okay. But the worst thing you can do is go out there and do it in reverse order, kind of like you're thinking, which I get it. That's how most people would think. If you do that, and then a sharp kid, just say an 18-year-old kid, picks up the phone and say he got him on a code violation list too. He's like, okay, I'll write you a contract. Where can I send it over to get it signed? And you're going to look at it the next day. They're like, you're going to be pissed, because it happens. It happened all the time to me. Especially the most vulnerable ones are always going to be the ones doing virtual wholesaling. So virtual wholesalers, the ones that get it, they learn how to move with speed. And they understand they're going to have a higher rate of contracts dropping out. That's it. What you want to avoid is having a massive contract fail. So a lot of people, when they start virtual, they'll have 70, 80% contract failure ratio. That's way too high. So as you learn the market, you should drop down to 50%. And then when you get really good, you get down around 35%. That's how virtual markets work. Guys, in our local markets, we have about a 10 to 12% contract fallout. But we control a lot of stuff locally. Once I go virtually, like, it's just a cost of doing business, and it's typically going to be a third. I know some people say 20, 30%, but I'm telling you, I've been doing this long enough. You have to, like, people just don't always tell you the truth. And so when we write our contracts locally, we can go look at them like real quick. Virtually, you can't do it. So get off the phone and call them. I'm telling you. And then if there's a disparity, figure out how you can get a contract. You're either going to do a DocuSign, or you're going to go over to the USPS or FedEx tomorrow and put in a simple 2-page contract and show them where they need to sign it. That's it.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good.
Anything else?
I think that's it for now.
Okay, Victor, go get him, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Rick.
Okay, awesome, man. See you. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Let's see here. You there?
Yeah, Rick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got a terrible static voice in your.
Is it bad? I'm using an external microphone. Let me try to unplug this.
Yeah, do that. If not, I'm going to bounce you out. Okay. I am going to come back. And let's see. JD, you there?
Yes, Rick. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
So I wanted to ask some questions about like mindset and ask what do you consider working hard?
Yeah, dude. Now you're going to press me with super, super hard questions. So let me ask you this. Is the question just like for reference for you, or like something you're struggling with?
I'm struggling with just like finding stuff to do, because I want to work hard and I don't feel like I'm working hard enough. Like I'm working around 4 hours, which I don't believe is enough, but I'm getting the things I need to do done every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I want to add more so I can work, you know, achieve my goals.
So are you talking in general? Are you talking about wholesaling or?
Wholesaling.
Got it. And how old are you, JD?
17.
Okay. Awesome. So obviously you have a growth mindset if you're watching a show like this. So I assume you don't accept the rhetoric of how school works, go get a good job.
No, I don't.
Happy employee. Okay. And so what kind of separated you from that mentality?
Well, I just didn't want to work for someone. I just stopped my thing.
And you get support from your parents?
Yes, my parents support me. They actually are in the real estate industry as well. So.
Got it. Okay, so good. Because I always tell people the first way is, you know, people got to show you. They can't keep just telling you because it gets it. As a kid, dude, I knew it all. Nobody could tell me what to do. So you're specifically asking about what it takes to work hard correctly. Like, just so say your question real quick once again, so I'm real clear on it.
Like, is it a certain amount of hours you need to be doing, or is it the task you need to do every day to?
So here's in the beginning is everybody likes to equate is how much time something takes, right? If I do this for 4 hours, when should I get a result? And here's the problem in the beginning. It's so screwed up, like your time ratio. So have you ever done something you really sucked at, either played a video game or tried a sport you've never done before? And it's just like, usually you get embarrassed and then you go try to figure it out on your own. You're like, holy crap. And then you ask your buddy, how long did you spend practicing? He goes, oh, it's like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, I spent like 20 hours and I couldn't even get like one thing through the hole. And this is the frustration that people have with hole selling, because I'm here to tell you, it has nothing to do with the amount of time you actually work. Nobody gives a crap. I'm telling you this right now, Jay, nobody gives a crap how many hours you put into it. Nobody cares. The only thing that cares is if you actually get better at your trade. So my first 2 years, I'm going to be honest with you, I pretty much sucked at everything. And here's the one thing, and I preach this to everyone and I don't change it. If you want to get really good at something and you want to be successful at it, you got to be willing to do the boring, mundane, redundant, like crap, because you have to do it every day. So think about this. I'm sure you brush your teeth, right?
Yes.
You even think about it?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay. Well, you're one of the rest. I mean, people just do it automatically. And when you were a kid, your parents beat their crap out of you. Like, I never wanted to brush my teeth as a kid. I'm like, why? I didn't know. And now, like, honestly, I don't even think about it. It's not like breathing. Like, you breathe, your subconscious mind keeps you alive even when you get knocked out or pass out. So you got to get to the level of what I call toothbrushing, where you just do it because you know you have to do it. And in wholesaling, it's the same way. So the problem in the beginning is your time factor, it's extremely warped. Like, I was so bad at time management when I started. Some days I'd work 16 hours. Some days I'd work like an hour or two. I was extremely inconsistent. And that was my biggest problem. I got really good at marketing. I was just trying to funnel in acquisitions and dispositions. And I never missed my acquisitions, but dispositions, to be honest with you, I just dialed it. Like, I just gave it away. I didn't give a crap about dispositions because I didn't have time. And no, to be honest with you, I didn't want to learn it. So for a year and a half, I gave my properties away to other wholesalers. I didn't give a crap because I got so good with working with motivated sellers. So in the beginning, you have to find out like what you need to master first, and you have to master it very good. So in wholesaling, what's the first out of the three phases you really have to master, or you have no shot? So what are the three phases of wholesaling? There's only three
steps. Getting your first deal.
Marketing's the first one. What's the second one?
Oh, sorry. Acquisitions.
And third one? Dispositions. Correct. So which one do you need to focus on the most in the beginning?
Marketing.
Period. So here's what you need to do. Instead of trying to take them all down, you just go balls to the wall on marketing. Everything you do is about marketing. Marketing, marketing. Because marketing is the thing that connects you to people to talk to. And if you don't connect to enough people, you don't have to worry about the other two. And this is where most wholesalers don't get it at all. They're like, I don't understand. You have to live, eat, and breathe the marketing cycle of a wholesaler. And honestly, the first 6 months, even the first year, that's what you predominantly do. Right. If you think you're going to take down all three phases and be perfectly balanced, you're kidding yourself. Because it is kind of like going through school to a point. To learn everything perfectly would take you years. So if you learn marketing and you know how to talk to and connect to motivated sellers, I promise you the rest will come with you because you'll be forced to learn it. Because the last thing you're going to do is leave 10, 20, 30 grand sitting on the table of a motivated seller. So once you find, so here is step one. If I can actually find someone that'll actually sell me a property at a discount, I'll figure out step two when I get to through step one. And that's it. So many people are trying to figure out every step. So it will take time and energy. Put it into marketing. So what are you doing right now to try to market to motivated sellers?
Driving for dollars. I'm doing around 75 driving for dollar leads, well, virtual, because I'm in Athens, Texas, and it's like an hour and 40 minutes away from Dallas. So I'm doing virtual driving for dollars. And I'm doing around 75 leads a day, which I heard that the average leads is like 400. But since I'm new, I'm going to need more.
Got it. So here's another good question. I can tell you how much you listen to me. What are the two things that will cure any wholesaler's blues in wholesaling, especially newbies? What are the two things that will just shoot rocket fuel into your business? And don't say it's not capital. It's not. Actually, that's the worst thing you could do.
Talking to more sellers. Is that one?
We'll call that quantity. They're like, you just need a massive amount of leads. You know why? Because you're not used to doing this and you're going to screw up a lot of stuff and you're going to get bad leads too. And after a while, you figure out what's a good lead and what's a bad lead. And then you start pointing in the directions where you're actually having success. In the beginning, you kind of like you filter, you spray it everywhere, which is fine. That's how you learn. So that really breaks down to what we call quantity. You need a massive quantity of leads. And you're doing a good job with the driving your dollars is one of my favorites. The second one is, you've already kind of mentioned it. I'll just cut you to the chase. It's just taking an incredible amount of action. Like a crap load of action. You're going to take a lot of bad action. You're going to take good action. You just have to take a lot. If you have a high quantity of leads and you have the guts to reach out and talk to people, eventually something hits. It's just a numbers game. That's all it is. There's no difference between you and me. Actually, I started when I was 33. You started when you're 17. You have a 16-year head start on me. So you don't have to take the world down in your first year. And you sound pretty confident talking to me. You just got to get it. You got to connect with enough people so you can present them what you want to do with them. But quantity and a ton of action. And all I do is spend my time in the marketing. I got to be honest with you. Like, do you truly believe wholesaling? Do you believe you're a salesman or more of like a guide?
I believe. I'm not sure yet. I want to find that out.
Well, I'm going to tell you because I've been doing this 21 years and I came from a sales background. Wholesaling is not sales. I will tell every one of you. Let me repeat again. Wholesaling is not sales. There's easier ways to do sales than wholesaling. You see, when I'm trying to find a motivated seller that needs to sell their house, that is a qualifier. Once they qualify under that, long as you don't say something to screw it up, you don't have to sell them. A realtor has to sell everybody on listing their house. They have to sell. There is no question about that. What we do, we spend so much time looking for a needle in the haystack. If I get four needles in my hand, I'm going to bend over backwards and make their life so perfect to do a deal with me. I'm not selling them though. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't sell anybody. Guys, I've done multiple $100,000 deals. I never sold anybody a damn thing. So wholesaling is the art of finding a motivated seller, which to be honest with you is probably one of the most challenging part. Part two, once you get marketing figured out, what's the second highest skill set that you can master as a wholesaler to become really good at it?
Acquisitions.
That's part of it. Negotiations. And the only way you get to good at negotiations is just over time.
Right.
You take a guy who's been selling 30 years, he's going to crush the new kid coming out. It's just why? Because he's just got more experience. They've heard everything. It's like he's got the cheat sheet to every test. He already knows the answers. I know the five of the biggest common objections you're going to get from anybody looking to sell their property, especially to a wholesaler. I already know it. I know everything you can possibly say to me, and I'm just going to spin it back on you. Now, you can call that sales training, but that's just handling objections, just 101. That's just like if you ask a girl out and she tells you no. You can either tuck your legs between your, you know, tuck your tail between your legs, or you can come back and fight and just try to do another day. Here's the reality is most women, they don't want guys that just walk away. They want guys that are going to work for it. How many times you hear these stories about like how hard people had to work to like date their first, you know, their wife before they married them and stuff like that. That's the same thing. So I'm here to tell you, your two highest skill sets is marketing. Marketing is first. The second one is negotiation. Negotiation, it has to come with an element of time. So if you pay somebody 10 grand and you learned it from me and Zach for free, you have to have some time to learn negotiations. Now, negotiations just going back and forth with people on price. In my opinion, it ain't selling. It's just finding out what people's needs are and matching it. So if you understand you're a guide and you're looking somewhat for a needle in a haystack, once you get the three or four needles, your job is just to bring them. It's like guiding a plane in on the runway. Like, and you can say a lot of stupid stuff to have the plane take off on you. And that's it. I think people way overcomplicate this business. And right. Just so you know, everyone, you know how many people tell me you can't wholesale? It's so hard. You're never going to do it. They still tell me it today. And they told me back that in 2003. So if I accept all the crap people tell me, I would sit and take a normal job like everybody else did. You are completely doing the opposite and you have a huge head start on it. You have to master marketing first. And if you don't master marketing, you don't have to worry about the rest in wholesaling. And here's the thing is the type of marketing we do, they're never going to teach you in college. No one's even going to give you the time of day in high school about it. And unless you have someone with a real estate background, which your parents have somewhat of a background, but remember a realtor's marketing is completely different than what we're doing because they're trying to sell someone on how huge the value is on their house. And we're kind of doing the opposite. So you have to master marketing, like every video, everything you can get your hands on marketing. And it's not about paying for it either. And just find ways. So have you ever heard the term guerrilla marketing?
Yes.
So it's just the terminology of making yourself look much bigger than you actually are. And this came from a military background. When someone had to take on like a 30,000 person army and you only had like 500 guys, like if you went toe to toe, the 500 army is going to get crushed. So they have to do a psychological warfare and they do what they call guerrilla warfare. And they mess with the other enemy's mind. How do you do it? If they're putting out 5,000 signs out on the street, you just get 15 signs and the 15 signs you flood an intersection every weekend, 52 weeks a year. They're like, how the hell does he do it? I don't understand it. Honestly, when I started out, dude, I was beyond broke. You have no idea. Like I did everything by hand. I was huge on bandit signs. I did a lot of handwritten notes. But my main thing was door knocking. I just felt I could do the most damage in door knocking. So the other thing too, is your 17. And a lot of times it comes down to your confidence when you're young. And so you got to do what you're most confident in what you're going to get a deal in. A lot of people don't give credit to that, but it is true. If you really like door knocking and you're good at it, then freaking do it. Like do what you're going to have the most confidence in to get your first deal. If something happens when you get your first deal, a light bulb goes off in your head. And now like once you accomplish it, like that wasn't as hard as I thought it was. You already climbed your Mount Everest. Now you go out and get four more deals and then you ramp it up and then you can turn that money into paid leads or whatever you want to do. So I'm just telling you, you've got to master marketing. Marketing, 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 and get as creative as you want and get as wild as you want, as long as you don't break any laws or you don't put your health or your physical condition in jeopardy. Do whatever you want. I can tell you, dude, I did some stuff when I started out. I'm not like overly proud about. You know that guy that put, you ever heard of those people that put those signs up on the telephone pole like 50 feet up? That was me. I did everything, man. I got harassed by more cops. I'm the guy who zip tied it to like the stop sign. I was reckless. I don't think you need to be reckless as I was, but I'm just telling you, guys, I got my deals because I was willing to do what nobody else was willing to do. And once you do that and understand that, eventually you will find someone that needs to sell a house for a discount because it's a numbers game. All it is math. 7 billion people on the earth, 330 million in the United States. They all got one thing in common in the United States. Nobody understands real estate and they usually buy more than they can afford. And for that reason, you and me are always going to be in business. So I've simplified this. You just got to dive into marketing and marketing. And when it comes to how many hours you work, I don't care because I'm not paying you per hour. So if it takes you 20 hours to master something over a weekend, that's just the cost of doing the business.
Right. Okay.
And if you don't believe me, go over and like watch an Alex Hormozi video or anything like that. He just talks about in the beginning, like time's so distorted when you're learning something new. If a guy says, listen, I spend 4 hours marketing, you might have to spend 12. And it's your internal clock. It's not mine. It's not yours. All we can do is do a recommendation. The only thing you got to figure out is your consistency, just consistently. So if it takes you 8 hours to do what it takes me to do 2 hours, then your goal is, okay, I'm going to keep doing that 6-7 days a week. And then eventually 6 will go down to 5, 5 will go down to 4 and cut it down. So like when I do my marketing now, I set my list up. I do 100,000 people in 1 month and it takes me 45 minutes. I'm going to tell you, dude, when I started out wholesaling, when I did my little code violation list and my tax delinquency, because those were like my jam, dude, 12 hours minimum, just sorting through every freaking detail on that list, trying to make it perfect because I was broke. I wanted the best list possible because I went out and door knocked. So if I just spend 4 to 8 hours door knocking, I want to get the best people possible that are like really need me to buy their house. So I spent as much time at night getting my list right. And then I worked during the day. And then in the evening, in between, I would go out and knock on doors. And I did that for 8-9 months. Remember, dude, I was 33 when I started this. I was broke, in debt, with a mortgage and 2 little babies. So motivation was extremely high for me.
Okay.
You have got to go deep into the marketing part, because the marketing, once you figure it out, it accelerates. It's like it's what kindles your fire. Because once you start getting a ton of leads, you're like, holy crap, how am I going to handle all this? And that's when the business becomes fun. But most people want to focus on making that perfect offer. All my videos, all my trainings always dedicated towards marketing in the beginning. Market, 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 market. And stop keeping hours on how many times you like how long it takes you to do something. It's not a good gauge because you're not good at it. And the last piece of advice I'll give you, do not ask yourself for advice because you don't have good advice for yourself. Also knowing that is you don't need to go to the internet and get advice. You know the things you need to do. You just got to find a way to get it done. The problem is staying motivated enough because most people aren't doing what you do. So like when you talk to your friends and stuff, they're like, I don't understand. Why aren't you going to go watch the football game tomorrow? They're like, no, I'm going to go out marketing. They're like, I'm telling you, if you subscribe that where you can give 2 years of your life, and I'm not talking about like you do nothing, but if you can give 2 years to anything, I don't care what business it is, it's no different than wholesaling, selling insurance, or being a real estate agent. If you give it everything you absolutely got and just outwork everyone around you, you're set for the next 30 years. I've done it myself. I've watched my son. My son, he massively accelerated what I did. I'm like, how do you do that so fast? Most of the time we are in our heads stopping ourselves and saying what we can't do. And then because you're so young, your mind's still young. It's still molding. You're not even like fully mature yet, which is really cool. You know, at age 33, 34, most people are dead set in their ways. Would you agree?
Yes.
So you have the amazing ability, because if you can find a way to make like a ton of money without trading up all your hours, imagine what you can do with your body, your mind, spiritually. If you want a family, you want to travel, you can do whatever you freaking want. Like my son can do whatever he wants. He's in his early 20s. Completely set. But like most people understand, he was making the sacrifice when he was 16 and 17. And you're no different. And here's the thing is, I'm going to tell everyone who's young out there, like stop keeping a clock on how quick it takes you to do it, because I started so much later than you. Like, so think how far ahead you are of the game. Even if you take this year just to figure out marketing, this year's almost up anyways. I'm just telling you, marketing, marketing, marketing. Anyone that will give you advice, and just be careful, because you know everyone's out there to sell you everything. Everybody's got a secret. And you understand wholesaling, there are no secrets. So if somebody tries to sell you a secret, they're just trying to get in your back pocket. So master marketing, and then you're going to master negotiating. Negotiating, it does take experience and time. So the more quantity you get, the quicker you can get through it. Because after a while, you're like, I realized quickly after 6 months, I go, you know what? It's pretty much the same in 5 seconds. And once you understand that, it's easy to get through them. In the beginning, it's like, how the hell am I going to get through all these objections? So, and then you got to get so good at marketing, like you can meet with people and like go really quick through them. Like, it's so easy. But dude, I struggled horribly my first 2 years. And then I had to figure out, then once you do that, then you have to decide, especially while you're young, my God, you have so many more advantages, is once you make the money, you have to decide what to do with it so you don't get in the same situation all your friends or family's in. And if you make decisions at your age, holy crap, like insanity. If you can find a way to put 100 grand in the market by the time you're 20 and waited 20 years to come back, you'd be so happy. You would never have to work another day in your life. You know that? It's insane what you can do with the compound interest. So take the money from wholesaling, invest it in you first, not a guru. They always say, oh, invest in you. Like, invest in things that's going to make you grow in your mind. And then once you get cash flow, buy things that will pay you. And then after about 5 or 7 years, you never got to work a day in your life ever. I promise you that. I didn't do that when I started wholesaling. I bought a lot of toys and I paid the price. And now I completely get it. And that was one thing I taught both my kids. So I have a daughter too, and I teach them the best. So, dude, you're so far ahead of the curve. Do you understand? Like, you have to, everything has to be about marketing. Do not worry about dispositions off the bat, because when you get a really good deal, it solves all your dispositions problems. I know people hate when I say it, but it's the damn truth. When you get crappy deals, you have to be a disposition expert. You're so bad.
Okay.
Okay.
And I have one more thing. This guy, I was doing digital bandit signs on Craigslist, and this guy called because he thought I was a cash buyer.
Uh-huh.
And I told him I was a wholesaler, and he's actually lives in California. And I do actually, my dad has agents that are, I told him that, yeah, we can find you a cash buyer.
Okay.
And, but we're, we haven't texted, I need to text him immediately though about, if I find you a cash buyer, would you split the profits? Because I watched some of your videos, and you know how JV has to be 50-50.
Well, it doesn't have to, but a good JV, it should be that way. Somehow in the last 5 years, wholesaler has gotten really cute and they want to pay you like a real estate agent. They'll say, hey, JD, if I find, I'll find you. Go find me a buyer and I'll give you 10 or 15%. Like, don't even agree to that deal, dude. That's just a nightmare. You're working like a dog. In a perfect situation, it would be 50-50 because they have a high quality, seller. You have a high quality cash buyer and it should work 50-50. The only time that's different is if someone has to fund it or close it and you don't have money to put in it, you have to compensate them a little bit. So you give them 60-40 or something like that. Remember, everything's negotiable in the beginning. The idea is just about getting your first deal. And I had to cut a lot of corners when I did my first few deals. I would love to tell you every deal I did was 50-50. It wasn't. I got taken advantage of left and right. But remember, some people have to pay their rent if you're not in that position. But if the guy offers you 60-40, but you're going to make a ton of money, I still wouldn't turn it down. Mm-hmm. And then here's what I say. Every time you JV with someone, I go, listen, I'll do it, but I need you to teach me and walk me through this entire deal. So you want to learn from everybody else because you can learn. I think you can learn something from anybody, especially a good wholesaler. All wholesalers do stuff a little bit differently. So you learn an incredible amount of value from people who have like paved the way before you. So, but like, don't take like 80-20 because that is just, you're not going to get paid much money and you're taking a lot of risk.
Okay.
So, and does that make sense?
Yes. And when I do, there is a JV contract that you use, correct? That you guys have?
You do a JV contract, or if you have the cash buyer, you can control the assignment of contract. So okay, they're both just as powerful and both documents are required with the title company. So a JV is basically a formal written agreement between you and the other wholesaler spelling out how it's going to work out. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of wholesalers, they get nervous around it because they don't feel like they're in control. If I have the cash buyer, you can use my assignment of contract at flipwithrick.com. And that assignment of contract really controls, in my opinion, it controls the deal. So it's given to the title company, it spells out exactly what you get paid, what he gets paid, and who has to bring what funds to the table. And the title company follows it like word for word. So if I have a cash buyer, the easiest way to control it is with an assignment of contract. People are really weird about like JV agreements. Like a lot of people think that's something like you sit down at a coffee table and you figure it out, then you go out and look for deals. The reality, most JV deals, like say you get a property owner contract and I say, JD, I got a great cash buyer. Like this guy's going to pay you more than what you normally get and he's ready to go. We can get it closed in a week. Okay, great. How do we do it? So somebody go, well, I have a JV agreement I want you to sign. I go, well, wait a minute. I got to see if your cash buyer is good. The easiest way to show your hand is to do an assignment of contract and you control it because they can't cut you out of the deal. I'm here to tell you, even with a JV agreement, they can still cut you out of the deal. So if you have the cash buyer, you control the assignment of contract. If you don't control the cash buyer, you need to have them sign a JV agreement. It's just an agreement that spells out what you're doing. And the idea is it's given to the title company. The title company has to honor it. That's it. So you'll also have to know who the person you're working with is the title company. So in a perfect world, you'd control the title company. But if you don't have the experience, you haven't done deals, you're probably going to have to use theirs. Just make sure you know who the contact information is at the title company. And then you call them right away and go, listen, I'm doing a deal with JD. I brought the buyer. I did the assignment of contract. We're working on a JV agreement. I just want to let you know I'm part of the deal. It's like, okay. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Get it, JD. Okay. You back? Okay. You back?
Yeah, I'm here. How do I sound?
That is terrible, man. It's terrible.
Dang, I'm using this external microphone too. Can I try the microphone on my Mac and see if that's any better?
Yeah, I'll hop back on you one more. We'll give it one more shot, okay?
Dang, all right. Thanks, Rick.
Okay. What's going on with people's mics? What is going on with the mics? Okay. You're there, man. What's going on, man?
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Just want to thank for everything you and Zach are doing.
Okay.
Sorry, I've been multitasking the whole time.
Awesome, man.
I have a quick question. I don't know if you remember, about a week ago, I asked you about it was a 4-bedroom in Jacksonville. Now, you told me I have to, I forgot the name. I wrote it down somewhere. I have it on my computer too. But it's a special contract you said to use if I am, if the person that has a probate is using an attorney. But I remember.
Oh, yeah. You're going to use, so if you're in the state of Florida, be what you call a FAR bar contract. And as is.
Yes.
And you can find them online or get them from your title company or a friendly realtor.
I never thought to ask a title company, but I did find one online. I found a couple, but I found one that looked good. So the thing was, it was what, about 15, 16 pages. Now, I remember you said to, before I do the whole thing, to ask them if they're still good at the price that they discuss. Now, the thing is, they originally, before I went to look at the house, they said 85 to 100,000 is what they wanted. I told them after everything that I'm good for 85. And I, what you said to the first person about not waiting, you are 1,000% correct. It was only a couple of days that passed by the time I found the contract that I liked and was ready to go. But when I asked them that, they said they have someone that, I guess they sent a contract to their lawyer and they're sending it. They're waiting for the go ahead for the rest of their siblings. And that person sent, offered $89,900, or pretty much 90K. I wanted to know what would be the best way for me to know if for whatever reason they want to go with me at that price or at like 1,000 or 2,000 more, if it would be worth it. Like, how would I know? If, for instance, if one of the sisters say, no, I'd rather go with Junior, how do I know if I could say, okay, I'll do 91 and that would be worth it?
Well, first of all, I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't get in the bidding wars because it's not wholesaling. So if you're just trying to beat out a contract, you're just paying more money. And you got to be careful because you might get that contract. What if you can't sell it or make it work? Like, what do you get? I'm here to tell you, when you bid up a contract, if you don't know what you're doing, it has catastrophic effects. Now,
okay,
I'm willing to bid up. If say I already have somebody for 100 grand. Like, no, Rick, I want it 100 grand. I've already left my deposit. I'll bid it up because I got nothing to lose, right? But if I don't have a buyer in hand, I'm very reserved about bidding up anything. Because honestly, I don't even know what 85 is going to make for you. Like, so how did this other contract come to fruition while you were talking to him?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because the house was not on market. So I don't know. And it wasn't.
Yeah, another investor must have got a hold of him. But they didn't discuss this other offer when you were initially talking to him, right?
No, they only discussed it a few days after.
Correct.
When they said to
him. How did you leave it when you got off? How did you leave it with him when you got off the phone with him originally?
Before I heard about the other contract?
Uh-huh.
So before that, the last thing I said to them was that I took pictures and sent it to my partner. My partner, who's more experienced with wholesaling, they're going to let me know if 85 is something that could work or not. I said, me, as I am newer, I would think 85, to me, we can make it work. And then they didn't throw it because that's the first thing they said to me when they responded to my message. But they said, yeah, send the offer to my attorney. So yeah. I did find the fire. So that's when I talked to you, found the Firebar contract a couple mm-hmm. days later. That is when I found out about the other offer. But just to answer your question, is I left it off saying, once I know if my partner says that 85 could work or not, even though he wanted a lower deal, then I'll confirm with you. But then I did say 85 is good. We could go forward. And then that was the last part before I contacted them back.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't bid it up if you don't have a buyer for it, because it's going to be impossible to unwind. See, when you bid it up, then you beat out another cash buyer. And then if you don't buy it, like, you're going to be in big trouble. And I'm going to be honest, when you get bid up, they usually squeeze you on the terms and everything.
Okay.
And it like, can you leave a $5,000 deposit? Can you close in a week? It's like all these things are going to come up that are just going to screw you up. So what you should have done initially when they offered the 85, go, listen, just that's fine. I can do 85 if you'll sign the contract today. That's it. It's no guarantee. I get it. They want to look at your lawyer, but maybe they take, or just say, listen, you got 24 hours. And if you have a good contingency period, then you can find out if it's a good deal. I think the theme of today's calls is you can't wait till everything's perfect. I get it. Everything in your gut and your body wants to make sure you're making a good decision, right?
Right.
But here's the problem is other people will be sharper than you and they'll beat you to the punch. I have no idea if there's other buyers even for real, if it's legitimate. So bidding up against an air buyer is really bad business in my opinion. Like, I just go find another deal. Or I patiently wait to see if this deal is going to close. And I always tell them, I go, listen, I'm never going to be your highest offer, but I promise you I'll be your best. Okay. Why? Because I'm reliable. I do what I say. And I just don't want to play games with you. And that's, if it's just about price, you're never going to win anyways, right?
Right.
So I'm looking for people to get that like heart connection. Like, because a lot of people on probates, it's extremely emotional. It's tough, man. It's tough when somebody dies in the family. They've been in the house a long time. So I get people that don't want to go back in the house. How am I going to deal with all the personal effects? I'm looking to wrap the emotions and help people out best I can. The people that are just like, I want the highest price. I know right off the bat, I'm probably never going to buy it.
Right.
And they're working you. And when they try to bait you up, I'm like, okay, if it's just about money, because if it was truly about money, they just put it on MLS. So guys, don't bid up on properties you have no idea if you can actually sell them or not. It's bad news. Take that initial offer. 85 was a good gut reaction. Put it under contract, have an inspection period, and then do your due diligence. Do all this thought. Don't try to overthink the whole thing up in front. So what was the ARV on that house?
So when I, to be honest, when I looked it up on the internet, I was seeing like 121 between the mid 130s. Yeah. And it wasn't in bad condition.
Yeah. So 85 would have been a no-brainer. So you're going to burn this in your brain. You're not going to make this mistake twice. And probate, they still take time. I get it. The lawyer, the heir's got to look it over. So when you think you're moving with speed in probate, sometimes it's 2 to 3 days. That's why you can't wait. You just got to move.
Right.
That's it. So that's it. Just don't bid it up. I'm just telling you, I don't, because then when you bid it up, you guys are going to chase it all the way up to like 100 grand.
Right. No, I didn't think, the last thing I told them when they said that was just to, if that doesn't go through or if they decide they want to go with me for any other reason, that I'm still here and I'd like to move forward. So I didn't really give them the impression that I was going to offer higher. I just kind of left it open. But they didn't respond to that. And that was the PR. But I do feel I have a good rapport with the sibling that's living in the home. But the PR seems to be, you know. So
would this be your first deal?
Yes, it would be my first deal.
Yeah. Don't bid up your first deal. It's not like you'll win the contract, but you won't make any money.
Right. Okay.
You got to go with your gut reaction. 85 felt right, right?
Yes, it did.
It was the butterflies. Like, oh crap, I'm not sure. I got to look at the house. On those types, just write it, have an inspection period, and then do your homework. Because then you can do your homework without the threat of losing the deal. When you try to underwrite it and you don't have it under contract, there's always this underlying feeling like someone could be talking to them right now and they could potentially be signing a contract. So I'm always focused, are you signing a contract? Now listen, if they come back and go, well, I need 115, I ain't going to rush them on a contract at that price. There's no way.
Right.
So 85 was the right answer. And honestly, if you wrote it, they probably would have taken 2 or 3 days. But you have a much more powerful position because you were loyal, you honored your word. And then I'm not going to say you can guilt people into doing it. Go, listen, you can always get someone to pay more. I asked you what you need. I gave you exactly what you need. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Right. I might not offer you the most, but I promise you, I will give you the most respect and I will do exactly what I say. And they're like, yeah, that's why I'm talking to you. And that's it. That's all. Probates, man, once you start the bidding war, you're typically going to have to raise it 2 or 3 times after that. Because once they bid you, they play games with you.
Right.
And you are the, so if you go to 90, 91, eventually they come back, hey, they offered 93, you do 93. And before you know it, you're at 100. You're like, crap, I'm not even going to make any money on this deal. So underwrite second, write the contract first. So was this locally or virtually?
It was local.
Yeah, so you can even move faster, dude.
Okay.
And worst case scenario, write the contract and then drive over the house, kind of walk around, look through it, you know, just look through the windows. Hopefully nobody's there. And you kind of underwrite it real quick. So when she calls you back, you're like, okay, now I got a real firm thing where this thing's at. And when they call you back, you kind of know what your limits are and your number, and just that's how you move. And listen, you're not going to get them all, but like you just can't let other people beat you out. Okay. And that's what happened here. So see what happens. You know, talk to them, but like, don't chase the number up because they're expecting you to. And I would, right. And honestly, if they signed a contract anyways, you're out anyways. So,
no, I don't think they signed it. I think what happened was the person made the sent the offer to their attorney, and then they're waiting for the other 5 siblings to give it the go ahead and get all 6 signatures on it. Because it was 6 siblings in total. I was actually going to reach out to the one that's living there because. The one that's living there who is not the PR, her and I kind of did, like I did the build rapport thing that you've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
And we had like a long personal conversation and stuff and have some similarities. So I was going to just try reaching out to her and seeing if I can get any information or anything like that.
Yeah, just be yourself. Like that's it. So next time, just don't wait.
I told the gentleman first time,
like, dude, just write it. Like sometimes you have to write it and it takes some risk, but like everybody wants a perfect answer and it doesn't work that way. You can go through and kick the tires after you put it under contract. Some are going to fall out, but if they're telling you the truth, you're good. If they're not telling you the truth, I don't feel bad when I get them out of the contract. You didn't tell me the house needed $50,000 damage. You said it was good. So I don't like fret. If they don't tell me the truth, I don't have ESP. I can't figure out what the hell the house looks like every time. And honestly, I get it. You all want to look at everything, but you start becoming realtors when you have to look and review. Like we're looking for opportunities. And remember, we don't make people sell us a house. Either they decide. And 9 times out of 10, the reason they decide to sell you a house is because they like you and you do exactly what you say you're going to do. Once you start waffling and like bidding, it's like you're going to get way out of character and it's going to get... See, that's what realtors do. They bid everything up, but that's part of their job. We're not realtors, and I don't want you to fall into that. So don't do the bidding thing as tempted as you are. The only exception to that is if you have a buyer locked and loaded and you know exactly what they'll pay for it. That's a whole different game. But in the most part, in the beginning, you guys don't have that. So I would implore you not to do that strategy, okay?
Okay.
Okay, man.
All right, thank you. I appreciate
it. Awesome, man. Good question, man.
I'll be sending my first JV to you guys real soon.
Anytime. I would love it, man. Awesome, man. Okay, I appreciate it. Okay, man, too. All right. Okay. Okay, a couple of things here real quick. What was it? So I have a couple people asking me, they go, hey, you know, Rick, what's the whole flip with Rick thing? Like, what is it? Here's a really cool part. I already told you, you guys have everything you need in freewholesaling.com. I'm the only guy, I'm not here to oversell you. Honestly, either me and Zach are a good fit for you and you like how we work, or we're not. I don't care. But the idea is we can answer extra questions because I can't sit here 4 hours and answer like every question, or I just run out of time. So between the Flip with Rick channel, the Rick In channel, the Zach In channel, we run out of time. Now, I'm not a big one-on-one type of coach thing because 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. God knows I've done it. And unless you're willing to spend six figures, people can't dedicate the time they need to you. Now, I'm all about a group or a community that coaches. That's how we do it at Flip with Rick. And the idea is if you have a question or go, hey, Rick, I'm going out to look at this property. The idea is we can help you, like walk you through it, give you our thoughts on it. And then we also do 2 live events a year, which is like unheard of. So shop me around. I'm a 10th of anybody else's prices. And here's the really cool part. If you want to join us for free, all you have to do is give me a JV deal at sellmypaper.com. And if your deal qualifies and we actually buy it, you get in with each deal, you get 1 year free with Flip with Rick Plus, which is really cool. So we meet 4 times a week in Sanity, and you get a direct message to me and Zach. And the idea is we teach you about wholesaling and we don't sugarcoat you. And I will kick you in the butt when you need it. And it is a group, meaning we have 15, 20 people on an average Zoom, and we're a very, very tight knit community. We have a good time. So we had a live event here in Stuart. Here's the really cool part, guys. Most people pay big bucks to go to these live events and you never see what they're all about and you have to pay to go. If you go over to Flip with Rick, me and Zach just started to release a 16, ready? Hear me on this, a 16 part series and show you what it's like. Now the content's phenomenal, but like no other guru in the world, they never release when they do these things because they charge such crazy numbers that the rest of the people would never put up with it. Me and Zach are always going to make everything 100% transparent. So you can still get the information like, well, Rick, why would I pay if you record it? The reality is you can get most of the stuff for free. It's the networking and the camaraderie you get with people that you want to work with us. Me and Zach attract a different type of crowd. We're looking for people that are authentic. We do not let people on our show that say they do $100 million in sales, but like they can't produce a balance sheet for their company. Simple as that. So if you want to know more about Flip with Rick Plus, remember, we just focus on wholesaling. Sometimes it's kind of boring, but like we teach you the stuff that actually works because I am a wholesaler. It's what I do. I don't sell courses all day. So if you want to join us on that, you can go there. But check it out at Flip with Rick. You'll see a 16-part series where we actually walk through and because I think it's 16 hours of content. It's insanity. But we have a good time, but I'm all about content and driving the behavior to help out as many people as I humanly possibly can. So you get 4 times a week, you get the DM, you get private access to me and Zach, and twice a year, once in Florida and the other one we travel, we get together for 2 days of full content. And then usually me and Zach hang around the day before and day after. We do like lunch, dinner, and actually we get to spend a lot of personal time with you guys one-on-one. So I enjoy it. Like I honestly had a blast when we did in Stuart. There's a lot of things I want to add to it, but it's still a small enough community where it is a lot of fun. So check it out on Flip with Rick. And what else? If you guys are new to wholesaling, make sure you go over to freewholesaling.com. I got it scrolling on the bottom here. Let me find the bigger one on that. Where is that? I lost it. Freewholesaling.com. Well, it's scrolling on the bottom. You can figure that. And guys, as usual, if you enjoy videos like this, we just tell you the truth about wholesaling. Make sure you smash that like button. And for God's sakes, make sure you subscribe to this channel. It's like the least you could do. But I release content on here. I don't release on any other type of channel. because me and Zach feel these channels help you kind of get to know us individually. And then every Thursday, me and Zach collaborate on Flip with Rick, and you can check us out there. So check us out, guys. If you want to join Flip with Rick, it's a really cool community. We got another live event coming up soon. It'll be somewhere in the center part of the United States, just to give you an idea where we're going. We're working on details, and we'll have that out in January. But go over to Flip with Rick, because me and Zach, I believe we're the only mentor, coach, guru, whatever you want to call us, that actually release all our footage from a private event. It's insane. But the reason I do it is because I want to inspire you guys that you can do this. It's all within you. And you're going to see the same questions that people have when they go there. And the idea is you have an event where you get support, you can get help, and you're not on an island where you pay for these wholesale programs. You pay $5,000-$10,000 and you got 2 or 3 months to learn it. I believe wholesaling is taught over an entire year. Why? Because I've been doing this 21 years. I never learned anything in like a month or two. I've learned techniques, but you're never going to learn an entire business. So if you want to join us, that's what I prosper. That's what I want to do. I don't think anybody can learn the course in 3 months. I just think it's a huge course grab, and that's why they all do it, for the money. I actually want to get to know you. And then the long-term goal is to do deals with you, do much bigger deals with you, and we basically become friends and partners. And that's why Flip with Rick Plus was designed that way. So check it out on there, guys. I got to run, and I appreciate you. See you guys later.